Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this snowy Thursday morning. We kick off the second hour with Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, former player, scout in the league, now assessing the draft for NFL.com and NFL Network. Bucky, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. I'm curious to see, you have Tua a little bit above Burrow in your top five quarterbacks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So tell us why you like Tua over Joe Burrow, who everybody believes is going one to Cincy.
Joe Burrow may go number one, but if you're just talking about ranking the player for player, Tua is more talented than Joe Burrow by every metric. Tua has a bigger arm. Tua has played on the big stage for a couple of years and done it. And that's no disrespect to Joe Burrow. But I think if you go back and look at how we had these quarterbacks ranked prior to the season, how we looked at these quarterbacks in the middle of the year, Tua Tagovailoa has always been in the conversation. Joe Burrow had a great year, maybe the greatest year of any quarterback in college football history. But if you go and you assess quarterbacks on the entire body of work, I think that would lead you to believe that Tua Tagovailoa is a better player. And when I say that, I'm saying it not being dismissive of what Joe Burrow is and what he could be at the National Football League level. I would say that a comparison to me would be Tony Romo versus Drew Brees. Depending on which style player that you like, that's the one that you go for. I think Tua plays the game like a left-handed version of Drew Brees, while Joe Burrow is more athletic and does a few things that kind of reminds me of Tony Romo. So that's why I have him stacked like that.
Interesting. So if the injury doesn't happen, in your opinion, we would be sitting here talking about Tua number one to Cincinnati in everybody's minds?
Yeah, I mean, if you just go back and do a Google search and look at the articles and look at everything that was written, everything that was said by people, it was tank for Tua. It was
sure.
Never tank for Joe Burrow.
No doubt.
It was always that thing. And I think what happens and what we have to be careful of is when we're talking about this and we all kind of play like faux GM and we begin to, hey, well, the medical and this and that. Just grade the player for the player and let people sort out the medical stuff. If you go back and you just talk about how they played, or whatever, I think you can make an argument that Tua is the number one quarterback in this draft class because he's more explosive and more dynamic than Joe Burrow.
We know guys like Herbert and Love and Eason, and those guys are all going to get drafted. But, you know, they're going to be, obviously, it's the top two, and then you have to start another tier, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel. I'm about to find out. Who do you think has the best shot of the next group of really being a – every week starter in the NFL and being productive?
It's funny, right? Because those first two guys are in tier one. Like Tua and Joe Burrow deserve to be separate and apart from the rest of these guys. The next three that you have will be Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and then Jacob Eason in some order. And I would say Eason is kind of behind those two other guys. The differences between the three, Justin Herbert has been probably more consistent than the other two. Justin Herbert has prototypical size, prototypical arm talent, athleticism. He has all of the IQ and traits that you look for. However, you just don't have, like, the signature games prior to the end of the season where you felt like, man, this guy's the best player on the field. Jordan Love is going to benefit from the Pat Mahomes bounce, meaning that a lot of us underestimated what Pat Mahomes would be in the National Football League because he played in a sandlot offense. He kind of ran around and threw the ball up. We hadn't seen anyone from an air raid offense have success, sustainable success, so we downgraded him. Well, now you look at Jordan Love, you see him come in from Utah State. You see him make these off-platform throws that are reminiscent of what Pat Mahomes used to do at Texas Tech. And so he's going to be the beneficiary of, hey, I missed on Pat Mahomes. I don't want to miss on another version of him. So he's going to get pushed up a little bit. And then Jacob Eason is just talented. He has a big arm. He plays the game in a classic, traditional manner. Inconsistent, but we have seen that teams go after these traits of size, arm talent, and they will kind of push those guys up, even if they're flawed. And so all three of those guys are going to go probably within top 40 picks. I think the one that I would bank on Justin Herbert, just because in my mind I think he's been a little more consistent than the rest of the guys.
In your opinion, Bucky, look, it's an inexact science. We know the draft is tough. But in your opinion, which position is truly the toughest to determine coming out of college and making it work on Sundays? Which was the hardest to evaluate?
Yeah, the position that we're talking about. The position that we're talking about, quarterback, is the hardest one because the league is undergoing a seismic shift in the way quarterbacks are used and developed. Going all the way back to yesteryear, like when I was playing in the mid-90s, it was about getting the quarterback. The quarterback has to sit. He has to learn our system. And when he's ready to play in our system, he'll play. Well, that's no longer the case now. Now, for the young guys to get on the field, you got to get them on the field because that five-year window is an opportunity for you to maximize your chances of going to the Super Bowl. So now what teams are doing is they're taking the quarterback, they're looking at what he does, and they're building the system around what he does. We saw it in Baltimore. We've seen it in Buffalo. We saw it with Deshaun Watson early when he was in Houston. It's no longer about, hey, how do they fit our system? It's, hey, what are we going to do to get the young quarterback ready to play? And that is the biggest change. And the reason it's difficult is guys play different in different environments. The Ryan Tannehill that played in Miami, well, he looks different playing in Tennessee. And it may be because the coaches did some things differently that played to his skill set. That's why it's so difficult to determine which quarterbacks are going to pop in the NFL level because you just don't know the situation that they're going to be in and how adaptable the coaches are going to be to their skill set.
Talking to Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, NFL.com, and let's look specifically at the Tennessee Titans. In your first mock draft, you had them selecting Marlon Davidson, the edge rusher from Auburn, at pick 29. I think a lot of us feel that the Titans need to address that with their first pick, but what is it you like about Davidson?
You know, like, it's tough, right, because this pass rush class is interesting. Like, you have Chase Young, and then you got a bunch of, I won't say question marks, but you don't have necessarily, like, those high blue-chip guys. Marlon Davidson, when I look at him on tape, obviously playing in the SEC, when he plays beside Derrick Brown, they dominate in terms of their physicality, their toughness, how hard they play. When I look at the Tennessee Titans, they kind of remind me of a hard-headed lunch bucket squad, a team that just kind of wears you out, that kind of beats you up physically. Well, Marlon Davidson fits that mold. And then when you think of Jeffrey Simmons, you have the opportunity to put Davidson alongside them. You have Harold Landry. You could have three young playmakers on that defensive line that all play with exceptional energy, all play with the kind of physicality that kind of fits the brand of the Tennessee Titans.
Could you see a scenario, too, with the Titans in defense selecting a defensive back, a cornerback, because I think they're going to have that as a need with the potential loss of Logan Ryan?
Yeah, so, I mean, what you have to do, and John Robinson and Ryan Cowden and those guys do a really good job, like what you have to do is you have to assess where are the strong and weak points of the draft. And I would say, like, the draft is pretty strong in the quarterback class. It's a little weaker with the pass rusher class. So when you're sitting there at 29, you have to make a determination. Hey, if we bypass the pass rusher now and take the corner, what pass rusher is going to be available later? Would it be better to take the best pass rusher now and maybe get a lesser corner because there are more of them in the second round? And so I think that is the trick of when you go on the combine, you go and you do the pro days and you're trying to figure out the strengths and weaknesses of the draft. If there are more corners, then I would expect the Tennessee Titans to take a pass rusher early and come back and get a corner late.
Bucky, looking at the offensive side of the ball and maybe a need that the Titans will address later in the draft, hopefully Derrick Henry is back as the starting running back, but I could see them maybe selecting someone later on. Keyshawn Vaughn, somebody that really stood out to us playing at Vanderbilt here in Nashville. What are your thoughts on him?
Look, man, he's really, really solid. I think when I look at Keyshawn Vaughn, I would say that he's a pro. And I mean that in every possible way. The way that he plays, the way he approaches the game, he just kind of reminds me of a veteran at the position. Love the way he's able to run the ball inside. He flashes a little power. He runs through tackles. He has a little pop when he gets to the outside. Catches the ball off the backfield, which is kind of a requirement now in today's game. He absolutely could be a guy that fits in as a rotational player. We're seeing more teams kind of operate like that. We saw what the 49ers were able to do on the way to the Super Bowl, even the Kansas City Chiefs. So, no, he fits. I think he is a guy, when you're beginning to talk about borderline day two, day three guys, I think he kind of falls in that third, fourth round category because there are so many running backs in the draft this year.
Talking to Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, we're starting to shape up the upcoming NFL draft. And Bucky, let me just ask you about the combine. Oh, you've done all your research now. How much are you likely to change your evaluations of the players you've done after the combine? How much stock do you put in it?
Not much. I won't make a lot of changes. I try to operate and adhere to a rule where when the combine starts, I put the pencil down. What happens is we make these mistakes in the evaluation process by going to the combine, falling in love with how guys run, how they look athletically on the turf, and we kind of forget how they played between the lines with pads on. I think the most pure evaluation that you'll have on a player is right at the end of the season, right when you've seen all the games, right when you've had that lasting impression of how they played. That's typically how they play in the National Football League. You may get one or two guys that kind of pop at the combine and kind of exceed what they showed during their final seasons in college. But more times than not, man, you just have to kind of trust like what you see on the film and just operate like most guys play like they played in college in the pros.
Bucky, with that in mind, let me ask you about Jarrett Pinkney, another Vanderbilt guy, because it was an interesting year for him. They had a poor year offensively. They had a lot of trouble getting him the ball at the tight end position. The year before, the numbers looked really good. How do you evaluate somebody like that, where maybe there were some things out of his control that hurt his production?
I think you have to look at the entire body work. And I don't know if everyone operates like that, but I tend to. I want to go back and look at both seasons. I want to look at his final season and the year before. And I want to see, like, how did his game evolve? Did he get better? Does he look like a better route runner? How does his blocking improve? Yeah, the numbers are the numbers, and production definitely matters. But I think if you kind of go back and you do, like, a complete markup on who he is and what he is, I think you get a good sense of how he may play in the league. And even though he had a dip in production, you still can walk away saying, hey, this is a good player. The circumstances didn't enable him to show off all his talent, but we kind of understand what he is and what he could be, and we'll draft him before.
Bucky, we appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, man, thanks so much for having me on.
All right, that is Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, just talking a little draft, the combine just around the corner. Then it'll be free agency, and then it'll be the draft. So a lot of good stuff on tap in the NFL for the next couple of months. We will come back. More of Darren, Donnie, and Chase next.